turning a corner here, though, I have some very important information to share with you. As we often talk about Agenda 21 on this broadcast, Chris Gerner does, the regular host. He should be back, by the way, tomorrow, if everything goes well. But we talk about Agenda 21, the United Nations system, sustainable development being implemented in this country. And sustainable development, folks, that's something that's going to change your life. If it's allowed to continue, it's going to change your life in the most profound ways. And in every way, it'll change what you eat, what you wear, you know, how much you eat. It's changing many of these things already. And it's what it is. It's Marxism. It's Marxism done on a global scale. Well, it's not hard to see once you get into this stuff and start studying it just how blatantly communistic it is and how diabolical it is. Well, it has also roots in Satanism as well, and the people that are helping to implement this are satanic. And I got some information that was sent to me by a listener named Jason. And Jason, if you're listening, thanks a lot for sending this in. This is something, again, that's been going out in plain view, but yet there's so many things like this that we just don't know about, and there's only so much research that you can do in a day. But this is called the Ark of Hope, and it's a knockoff. If those of you who are Christians and have read the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible, this Ark of Hope is fashioned after the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm reading directly from their website, the Ark of Hope. It was created for a celebration of the Earth Charter document, the Ark of Hope. And you can access this information, by the way, on arkofhope.org. And I will put the links up on AmericanExpose.com after the broadcast tonight. But it says the Ark of Hope, a 49-inch wooden chest, was created as a place of refuge for the Earth Charter document, an international people's treaty. Doesn't that sound nice? Like the People's Republic of China? An international people's treaty for building a just, sustainable, and peaceful global society in the 21st century. And it says visit earthcharter.org for complete information on the Earth Charter. The Ark of Hope also provides refuge for the Temenos books, images and words for global healing, peace, and gratitude. Over 600 handcrafted 8x8x2 books have been made by artists, school children, there's the conditioning of America's youth, and citizens around the world expressing their individual and collective prayers and affirmations for Earth. The Earth Charter's 16 principles for building a just, sustainable, and peaceful global society are the guiding vision behind the creation of these books. The Ark was designed and painted by Vermont, USA artist Sally Linder, who, by the way, is funded by David Rockefeller. The Ark was built by cabinet maker Kevin Jenis and lined by fabric artist Beth Haggard. It was crafted from a single plank of sycamore maple from a sustainable forest in Germany. Isn't it amazing that they can cut down trees for building this thing? They'll use the wood for what they want to use it for. The five painted panels that form the sides and top of the Ark each represent the flora and fauna of the world as seen through the images of the world's traditional artists. Each panel visualizes a season, a direction, an element, and a universal symbol. Symbols of faith from traditional religions and indigenous societies surround the top panel of spirit that honors the children and young animals of the world. The 96-inch carrying poles are unicorn horns, which render evil ineffective. Inside the Ark, and again, we're talking about the Ark of Hope, ladies and gentlemen. Inside the Ark's lid is the Earth Charter, handwritten on papyrus paper. The University of Cairo supplied Sally with instructions for making paper with papyrus, a plant known to have the ability to purify water of pollutants. The papyrus was harvested from the Living Streams Incorporated Waste Treatment Plant in South Burlington, Vermont, soaked for 2 weeks in Sally's bathtub, and then pressed using 90,000 pounds of pressure at Langdell Papers, a Vermont papermaker in East Topsham. The Ark of Hope was created for a celebration of the Earth Charter held at Shelburne Farms, Vermont, on September 9, 2001. Goodness, September 9, 2001. Isn't that quite a coincidence, huh? The event for the Love of Earth featured keynote speaker Jane Goodall. Of course it did. Global peace walker Satish Kumar, musician Paul Winter, and Dr. Stephen C. Rockefeller, a member of the Earth Charter Commission. On September 11, 2001, volunteers were cleaning up from the September 9th event when news of the New York and Washington, D.C. terrorist attacks and tragedies was heard. Sally Linder's immediate spontaneous response, sure it was spontaneous, her immediate spontaneous response to the horror was to begin walking the Ark of Hope to New York and the United Nations, joined by Andrea Morgante and Janet Fredericks. They carried the 200-pound chest across the meadows of the farm to Route 7, where they were joined by Susan Dahl Dufort. Hundreds of walkers joined the pilgrimage to New York City. Did you see anything about this, ladies and gentlemen, on TV, by the way? Now, you were too busy looking at the Twin Towers smoke. Hundreds of walkers joined the pilgrimage to New York City, bringing with them hope and the vision of the Earth Charter to communities along the way. For 2 months, the Ark of Hope was walked over 350 miles through four states. The last leg of the journey down the Hudson River was aboard the legendary sloop, the Clearwater. Due to heightened security at the United Nations, the Ark of Hope rested at New York's Interfaith Center upon arrival. Recognizing that the United Nations is central to global efforts to solve problems which challenge humanity, the Ark of Hope, carrying the Earth Charter and the Temenos books, was exhibited at the United Nations during the World Summit PrepCom 2 in January to February 2002. At the 2002 World Summit on Sustainable Development in Johannesburg, South Africa, the Ark of Hope was ceremoniously offered to the world by the children of Diepsloot, an informal settlement in Johannesburg. So see the website's news section for the complete stories to the walk, on the walk to New York City and journey to South Africa. The Ark of Hope, carrying the vision of the Earth Charter, belongs to Earth and to humankind. Its life grows when it is shared. It is hoped that nations around the world will bring the Ark of Hope to their people, continuing to introduce the Earth Charter to audiences globally, spreading hope and the recognition of the interdependence of justice, and economic and ecological integrity, which together build a culture of peace. Schools, churches, museums, and various organizations have hosted the Ark of Hope since its creation in 2001. It is exhibited at the Interfaith Center of New York when it is not traveling. Visit interfaithcenter.org for information. To invite the Ark of Hope to your community, or to create Temenos books to add to the Ark, visit this website's contact us section. And again, this website that I'm reading from is arkofhope.org. Again, www.arkofhope.org. The Contender Ministries posted a piece. Ben Rast writes, this is contenderministries.org, thousands of years ago, the Ark of the Covenant was built to house the Ten Commandments given to Moses by God. Standing in stark and sacrilegious contrast is the Ark of Hope, a modern-day vessel designed to carry the Earth Charter. The Ark of Hope has been seen throughout the northeastern U.S. as its Vermont designers and a crew of Ark Walkers escort the Ark from town to town, raising support for their cause. From the outward appearance of the Ark itself to its New Age and occult contents, this demonic vessel should give every Christian pause. In many ways, the Ark of Hope was designed as a satanic half-price knockoff of the Ark of the Covenant. It is a wooden chest constructed from a single plank of sycamore and is 49 inches by 32 inches by 32 inches in dimensions. In other words, 49 by 32 by 32. The four sides have various artwork and represent the four directions, north, east, south, and west, and also four elements, earth, water, fire, and air. The top of the ark also features artwork and represents the fifth element, spirit. Around the edges of the top are a variety of religious and cultic symbols, including the occult pentagram. The ark has four rings through which two carrying poles are inserted. The poles are designed to represent unicorn horns, which render evil ineffective. The ark was designed and painted by Sally Linder of Vermont. The attempt to blaspheme the Ark of the Covenant is no chance occurrence, they say. Former Soviet Premier and President of the International Green Cross, Mikhail Gorbachev, who, by the way, George Herbert Walker Bush said he shared his vision of a new world order, Mikhail Gorbachev, he also co-chairs the Earth Charter Commission, he's quoted as saying, quote, "Do not do unto the environment of others what you do not want done to your own environment." He continues, "My hope is that this charter, the Earth Charter, will be a kind of Ten Commandments, a Sermon on the Mount, that provides a guide for human behavior toward the environment in the next century." Maurice Strong, a founding co-chairman of the Earth Charter Commission and advisor to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, concurred. He said, "The real goal of the Earth Charter is that it will in fact become like the Ten Commandments." Now, lest anyone doubt the religious sincerity of Mr. Gorbachev, he has made it clear, quote, "Cosmos is my God. Nature is my God." He said that on the PBS Charlie Rose show, October 23rd, 1996. The contents of the Ark of Hope, are as dark as its design and include the Earth Charter written on papyrus, Temenos Earth book masks, and over 300 Temenos books designed by artists and school children from Vermont. Those of you listening in Vermont, you didn't know your school children were helping to contribute to the Earth Charter, did you? Temenos is a concept adapted by Carl Jung to denote a magic circle, a sacred space where special rules and energies apply. Some of the Temenos books were created within this magic circle by children who filled them with visual affirmations for Mother Earth. Fashioned with the Earth elements, the Temenos Earth masks were also worn and created by children. The Ark of Hope, the official website, which I've just read from, states, "Teachers involved in the Temenos Project engage their students in discussion of the Earth Charter principles, generating the kind of internal reflection that can lead to a change in attitudes, values, and behavior." You remember what we covered in the first hour of this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen? Mind control. I want to read that statement again. It says, the Ark of Hope official website says, quote, "Teachers involved in the Temenos Project engage their students, in discussion of the Earth Charter principles, generating the kind of internal reflection that can lead to a change in attitudes, values, and behavior." Conditioning people, conditioning the next generation. The Earth Charter itself is a relatively short document that sets forth the means for establishing a global government based on communist ideology and New Age beliefs. It also possesses the means to curtail Christian evangelism, promote and even mandate abortion, and allow for the prophesied restoration of the temple in Jerusalem. The Earth Charter Initiative was launched in 1994 by Maurice Strong. Now, if memory serves me correctly, Maurice Strong is very, very closely tied to the Rockefellers, which shouldn't surprise anyone. his newly formed Earth Council and Mikhail Gorbachev, acting in his capacity as president of Green Cross International. In 1997, the Earth Council and Green Cross International formed an Earth Charter Commission to give oversight to the process. The Earth Charter Commission issued a final version of the Earth Charter in March 2000. The Earth Charter is unabashedly New Age and humanist in its ideology. The preamble of the Earth Charter affirms belief in evolution. It says, quote, humanity is part of a vast evolving universe. Earth has provided the conditions essential to life's evolution. The first of the 16 principles of the Charter state that nations must, quote, affirm faith in the spiritual potential of humanity, end quote. The spiritual potential is one based in New Age beliefs on the potential for spiritual evolution and, quote, Christ consciousness inherent in each person. The Charter's preamble lays the groundwork for a one-world government. They say, quote, we must join together to bring forth a sustainable global society. We urgently need a shared vision of basic values to provide an ethical foundation for the emerging world community, end quote. Excuse me. Where are the churches on all of this stuff, by the way? That's what I want to know. You know, it seems to me like the churches would have a vested interest in coming out against something like this. Anyway, to continue here, to facilitate this goal, the goal of achieving the shared vision of basic values to provide an ethical foundation for the emerging world community, to facilitate this goal, nations must, quote, avoid military activities damaging to the environment, and demilitarize national security systems to the level of a non-provocative defense posture, in other words, make them defenseless, and convert military resources to peaceful purposes, including ecological restoration. That's the 16th principle of the Earth Charter. Obviously, any bomb dropped and any bullet fired can result in damage to the environment. In line with the United Nations objectives, these principles will effectively eliminate the military powers of nation-states, as they're called, and excesses will be redistributed to underdeveloped nations. That's exactly what is going on right now. Resources are being taken from here and sent to the so-called developing countries, which, by the way, is nothing less than socialism, equaling the playing field. Because it's not fair that you have more than some third world crackpot dictatorship. In the interest of fostering sustainable economic development, the United Nations and associated organizations have been strong proponents of population control measures like China's one-child policy. In the Earth Charter, this is echoed in the seventh principle, quote, nations must ensure universal access to health care that fosters reproductive health and responsible reproduction. Responsible reproduction. This is a euphemistic way of endorsing population control and consequently abortion as a part of family planning. Under the auspices of the Earth Charter, Christians could find themselves committing a violation of law by evangelizing to non-Christians. The Charter states that nations must, quote, eliminate discrimination in all its forms, such as that based on race, color, sex, sexual orientation, religion, language, and national, ethnic, or social origin. Well, language, it's interesting that that's included in here. Does that mean that if you have a business and you don't hire Mexicans, for instance, because they can't speak the language, you could potentially be violating the law? And more as we're seeing, businesses are adopting Spanish. We're a bilingual country. While the wording sounds noble, well, unless you know how the language goes, how the rhetoric goes, this clause could possibly find that evangelism is a form of discrimination based on religion. What of our religious freedoms? The authors of the Earth Charter recognize that many will be reluctant to give in to all these new demands, but, quote, we must find ways to harmonize diversity with unity, the exercise of freedom with the common good, they say. In other words, if the United Nations deems that your freedoms are contrary to the common good, well, your freedoms will be sacrificed. This person writing this says, I'd be willing to bet Mr. Gorbachev had his hand in writing that portion of the charter. According to end times prophecy, the temple in Jerusalem will be rebuilt. The question of how or when remains elusive, as the Temple Mount is currently under the control of the Muslims, who have no intention of relinquishing it. The Earth Charter may provide the means for the fulfillment of this prophecy. The 12th principle calls on nations to, quote, protect and restore outstanding places of cultural and spiritual significance. They conclude by saying, the Ark of Hope is a blatant and blasphemous affront to Jews and Christians alike. It places a sacred status on the Earth Charter and attempts to replace the divine law of God with man-made rules that will pave the way for the Antichrist. On August 26, 2002, the Ark of Hope, carrying the Earth Charter and Temenos books, will visit the United Nations World Summit on Sustainable Development, held in joint... Okay, this is dated. This is dated. It says, these worshippers of Mother Earth would do well to open a Bible and read Romans chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, where it says, quote, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degradation of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. So what do you think of that, folks? The Ark of Hope, which is a knockoff of the Ark of the Covenant from the Bible. Interesting. As more and more, we talked a little bit about the dialectic, the Hegelian dialectic, and if it weren't for this technique, folks, they would not be able to get done a fraction of what they have been able to accomplish. And understanding all of this is very important to each one of us. And we have to ask God, we have to rely upon Him. And looking at all of this information, it can really look like the deck is stacked, and indeed it is. But you got to keep in mind who's in control. Who's really in control? These people want to play the part of God, and yet God is really in control. And we have to reaffirm our faith, reaffirm our belief in Him, and ask us to help us every day in this fight to preserve freedom for the next generation and for future generations. So if you'd like to call in, by the way, the call-in number is 1-800-858-6582. I'm not certain that that there's a board out there, but you can try if you haven't already. 1-800-858-6582. If somebody wants to call and find out and let me know if you can get through on that number, email me at webmaster@sweetliberty.org. That's webmaster@sweetliberty.org, and I will I'll try to make sure I check your message here so I can get a message from you. As I just checked my mail, and I have spam here now. But anyway, there's more information to cover, and certainly the Communist Party. We've talked a little bit about this. What was it now? A couple of weeks ago, about how the U.S. has put the Iraqi Communist Party in power, And if you want to go back and listen to that broadcast, the archives, I think, are up for that particular program. But the Iraqi Communist Party is in power today, in part because of our, well, in full because of our U.S. government. These people were being hunted down by the Saddam Hussein regime prior to the U.S. invasion and subsequent overthrow of the government.
Hey, Darren?
Yes.
You're on your own.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
Let you know.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it, Nicholas. All right, folks, I guess if you have a question or a comment, you'll have to email it to me at webmaster@sweetliberty.org. As I've just gotten a word from Nicholas that that we're on automation tonight. But at any rate, we have the Communist Party USA operating here in this country, and we've said so many times in this broadcast that communism has infiltrated this government to the point where all 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto have been implemented. You can do that research for yourself. But at any rate, we also have not only the Communist Party, but we have a draft program of the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. This is something I think that was dug up quite a while ago by Trish, and we appreciate her research. This draft program states, the world is intolerable and cries out for justice. It says, of all tyrannies, of all tyrants and oppressors in the world, there is none that has caused more untold misery and committed more screaming injustices against the people of the world than the rulers of the U.S. Well, here's the pot calling the kettle black, folks. The rulers of the world are communists. The rulers in the U.S. and the United States are communists. They align themselves with communist principles. They may not call themselves communists. Of course they're not going to call themselves communists, because people would be outraged. People would be up in arms. They call it democracy. They call our form of government a democracy. And as I so often do, I refer to the many speeches of Mikhail Gorbachev, the many quotes that he has stated. He said, it is my conviction. Let me skip down here for a second. He says, I would like to be clearly understood. We, the Soviet people, are for socialism. We want more socialism and therefore more democracy. He said that in his book, Perestroika, New Thinking for Our Country and the World, 1988. He said, we will proceed toward better socialism rather than away from it. We are saying this honestly without trying to fool our own people or the world. Any hopes that we will begin to build a different non-socialist society and go over to the other camp are unrealistic and futile. Those in the West who expect us to give up socialism will be disappointed. He said again in the New York Times in 1989 quoted Mikhail Gorbachev as saying, I am a communist, a convinced communist. For some that may be a fantasy, but to me it is my main goal. This is the person that is being, that George Herbert Walker Bush said in a speech of September 11, 1990, that he shared his vision for a new world order. Now, folks, if that doesn't tell you that our leaders in this country are communists, then what does? We have our president on national television announcing to the world that he shares the vision of a blatant and unapologetic, unrepentant communist. I hear the music, folks. We're going to have to take a break, but I want to get into this, and we're not going to be able to finish it by any means. It's huge. It's a huge document. But it's the draft program of the Revolutionary Communist Party USA. We'll be back here on American Expo Day. Please stay tuned.
Mind. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars, or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on firstamendmentradio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at firstamendmentradio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Pam Stegner. Do you want to garden organically, obtain insect control naturally, or care for your pet without harsh chemicals? Biozyme products by Heartland Enterprises are a special blend of living microorganisms and organic substances, providing safe and cost-effective all-natural solutions for the agricultural industry, your home, garden, and lawn care. Organic solutions for lagoons and ponds, even for animals. Biozyme is effective prevention of West Nile disease for both humans and animals. Protect your family from damaging chemicals and disease. Order Biozyme today. Call Heartland Enterprises at 785-628-6435. That's 785-628-6435, or on the web at www.biozymeag.com. That's www.biozymeag.com.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us, or call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the broadcast called American Exposé. Go to the website, AmericanExposé.com, www.AmericanExposé.com. American spelled with a K, not a C, and do your research. And you can also go to SweetLiberty.org and do more research. There's a lot of information between those two websites, and SweetLiberty.org also has a United Nations section. And I just kind of view the AmericanExposé.com website as kind of an extension of our United Nations section. A lot of information, folks. A lot of things to know and learn, and a very short time to learn it, and to be able to educate others is certainly crucial in this time of impending peril, basically. But we're talking about communism operating here in the United States, and in the first hour we were talking with Stephen Jacobson about the Hegelian dialectic and the various manipulation of thoughts that goes on in the media. And here we see a Hegelian dialectic in situation being set up as an argument in this draft program of the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. It says, the world is intolerable and cries out for justice. It says, of all the tyrants and oppressors in the world, there is none that has caused more untold misery and committed more screaming injustices against the people of the world than the rulers of the U.S. See, here we have the dialectic working here, because the rulers of the U.S., folks, are communists. And we have communists here saying, look at those bad, bad leaders. You know, they're leaders of this so-called free country. And yet, look at all the injustices that they've done. So the solution, of course, to this problem would be you need a more fair society. You need to implement our way of thinking, because our way of thinking is fair. See, you see that a lot with the Democrats versus the Republicans. All the time, the Democrats are on TV crying out for what? They cry out for fairness. Well, you know, bemoaning tax breaks for so-called the rich, which many times the rich are really the middle class, but that's who would benefit from the tax break, and really, who owns the money? Who owns all money? It continues, it says, this is a country founded on genocide and slavery. It is expansionist to the core. From Puerto Rico, Cuba, and the Philippines in 1898 to Iraq and Yugoslavia in the 1990s, the U.S. has sent troops, committed acts of war, and carried out CIA interventions more than 150 times. It has propped up military dictatorships around the world. It has fought in two world wars and killed millions in countless other wars and bloodbaths all over the globe. Not to bring peace or freedom, but to extend its empire of exploitation. It inaugurated its American century at the end of World War II by dropping atomic bombs on Japan, causing unspeakable suffering and death. It preaches about the rule of law while it routinely tramples on international laws and violates treaties. The rulers of the U.S., they continue, have plundered and slaughtered their way to the top position within the worldwide system of capitalist imperialism. See, is the worldwide system, is it a capitalist system? It's a socialist system, folks. A system of global exploitation, they say, a political and military domination, and of murderous rivalry among imperialist powers themselves. They say globalization is opening up opportunity to all and creating a more level playing field. But the whole structure of the world system, according to the Revolutionary Communist Party, the whole structure of the world system is based on the division between haves and have-nots, and its workings are widening this gulf. The imperialists, in their endless quest to turn everything into a means for private profit, and in their monstrous methods of warfare to enforce and extend their domination, tear down forests, pollute water and air, threaten the Earth's atmosphere, devastate ecological systems. See, now they're starting to sound like the UN, and generally wreak havoc on the Earth and its resources. They are not fit to be caretakers of the Earth. Their system has not only brought tremendous suffering for many generations, every day they cause further destruction to the environment that will affect people all over the world for many generations to come. Just one quick note on that, too, by the way. Iraq is a good example of how our so-called leaders in this country are destroying the environment. See, on the one hand, they like to talk a lot about the environment and buying into all these United Nations initiatives for improving the environment, but then they go over to Iraq and they use depleted uranium, which raises, folks, the radiation levels in Iraq are just unbelievable right now. Unbelievable. Due, at least in part, in large part, to depleted uranium weapons being fired. This stuff, when it impacts, it creates a dust, which is carried by the wind through the air. And when these soldiers inhale this dust, as well as the Iraqi people, this radiation lodges in their lungs and it continues to emit radiation. And a lot of soldiers right now are coming back from Iraq sick from radiation poisoning. And this is something, of course, that is not being told to you on the mainstream media. That's why you listen to this show, and that's why you listen to this network. And thank God, by the way, for this network. Because where else would we be able to go to get this information out? Especially in this day and age where Patriot broadcasters are so infiltrated that how do you know who you can trust and who you can't? That's the problem. Anyway, continuing with the Revolutionary Communist Party's draft program, it says to bring down this system, is the urgent need of the world's exploited and oppressed. In the U.S. itself, it is our special challenge and responsibility to make revolution, they say, at the earliest possible time, right within the belly of this most powerful imperialist beast. The Revolutionary Communist Party USA openly declares our determination and dedication to lead the masses of people here to do this as part of the world's proletarian revolution. The imperialists claim that a different world is not possible. They want the people to believe the big lie that communism is a failure and that the system of capitalism has forever triumphed. The capitalists say this is the highest humanity can achieve. But what is the reality? In every corner of the globe, including inside the U.S. itself, the system of imperialism has proven to be a complete catastrophe. Think about world hunger, they say. The back-breaking labor of hundreds of millions of workers, peasants, and farmers produces enough food to adequately feed every single person on the planet. Yet nearly 1 billion people don't have enough to eat. And many more struggle desperately to stay a step ahead of hunger. Oh, man. What kind of a world are these capitalists trying to force the people to accept? All their hype about markets leading to prosperity and freedom can't hide or change the cruel reality of a capitalist world as Karl Marx described it, with its concentration of wealth on the one end, and misery and agony of toil on the other. Look across the globe. Look in Thailand, the Philippines, and many other places where girls as young as 8 or 9 years old are coerced into working for slave wages in toy factories or else forced to become sex toys themselves, being used and abused by traveling businessmen and soldiers. They say look in Africa, where orphans roam the countryside in search of help, because whole villages have been wiped out by the spread of AIDS viruses, another created crisis, I add, while the big drug companies deny the medication and roam the world in search of higher profits. Look in Mexico, where workers slave away in the big U.S.-owned high-tech sweatshops producing TVs and computer parts, but have to go home to shanty towns without electricity where their children die of diseases like cholera, because there are no sewage systems or clean drinking waters. And look at what the U.S. has done when the people in these nations refuse to put up with these bone-crushing conditions and pick up a gun to fight back. The U.S. and its allies and enforcers have killed literally millions of people since World War II in Korea, Vietnam, Central America, Palestine, and countless other places. They say, look at Guatemala, just one of the countries ransacked and put on the torture rack where U.S.-backed regimes killed over 200,000 people. Imagine a peasant woman in the highlands of that very country who watches the Yankee-supplied soldiers murder her entire village, barely escaping with her life. Then follow her as she flees to the U.S. to escape such horrors, only to be hunted like an animal by the immigration police and vigilantes. Well, you're not going to have to worry about that under the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights anymore. Look at the U.S. itself, where the capitalists put up the big front about how life is so much better. But what is life really like for millions in this so-called land of opportunity? Ask that same Guatemalan woman, who is now considered an illegal alien, as she cleans high-rise office space or huge family homes only to return to a one-bedroom apartment she shares with many folks. I don't mean to laugh, but it's just so sad how they demonize that which they embrace. They demonize that which they've caused. Ask the black and Latino parents who sacrificed everything so their kids can have a better life than themselves, only to see them brutalized and even shot down like dogs in the streets by murdering cops for being the wrong color or speaking the wrong language. Ask the women who were made into targets of male domination and violence, having it burned into their consciousness that at any time they could be raped or brutalized. Ask the homeless people as they rummage trash cans for food under the glitter of the urban skyscrapers and gourmet restaurants. Ask the proletarians working in the chicken factories in the South about opportunity as they gut and clean 90 birds an hour, pushed to their physical limits and subjected to constant monitoring and control. Well, what is that, folks? That's a totalitarian police state. What is the Revolutionary Communist Party going to propose as a solution? A communist system, a Marxist system, which is a totalitarian police state. You see how you're always inside the dialectic? You're always inside the dialectic. And for all the official hymns to America's middle class, what kind of lives are they offered? Ask people who work in the social services, teachers who genuinely want to help the youth, but who run smack up against forced curriculums and broken down schools, or healthcare professionals who are prevented from providing decent care because of the domination of this industry by big insurance and other corporate interests. Again, all created crisis to fulfill the Hegelian dialectic. Others are driven, they continue, to be workaholics in stress-filled jobs that perform no useful service for society. Yes, many in the U.S.'s middle class live comfortable lives, but walled off from the basic people and powerless to decide how the resources in society will be used for the betterment of humanity. Yes, the betterment of everyone. That's what you're going to be working for in the future, ladies and gentlemen, the betterment of everyone. Forget the betterment of yourself. Forget the betterment of your family. Forget the helping friends. You're going to be helping everyone. That's what this United Nations world system of socialism is all about, helping everyone, giving to those developing countries. Nobody can have too much now. Everyone has to give according to their means to those who have a need. That's what this is all about. Because after all, everything has to be fair. Everything has to be fair. They continue, this is a society where everything, including science, art, education, information, is commodified and hemmed in by the interests of the ruling class. That's true. Everything is controlled by the ruling class. Things that sell, they continue, and that reinforce the system get developed. Things that don't sell or that challenge the system get repressed or marginalized or never come to life at all. This is a society where even the most intimate relations between people get twisted by the capitalist values and mentality of use or be used and what's in it for me. And what about the youth? Ask them what's it like growing up in a world where their curiosity, daring imagination, and creative energy get stifled and snuffed out, where the police constantly jack them up, forcing them to kiss the pavement in an attempt to break their fearless, nothing-to-lose spirit. To that I say, look at China. Look at Tiananmen Square. Talk about kiss the pavement. I'd rather kiss the pavement than have my blood spilled on it. Where the police constantly... Okay, I already read that. Where they endure a savagely unequal education in which many aren't even taught basic skills like reading, but are instead tracked and trained to become the next generation of wage slaves or to become part of a prison population that is already over 2 million. Where their style of dress, the music they listen to, and the way they talk are outlawed and criminalized. And most of all, ask them about what kind of future they see and listen when they tell you that there isn't much of a meaning to life under this system and that the future is a complete dead end. Why is that, folks? Why is the future a complete dead end? You think our involvement in the World Trade Organization had anything to do with that? You think our buying into NAFTA had anything to do with that? You think the fact that all of our manufacturing jobs are moving over to communist China had anything to do with that? See, the point here is that all of these things that they're naming as evil because of the capitalist system are things that they've created. Things that the communists have created in this country, those who rule over us. And if I sound like a raving lunatic, then you better do your own research and find out, because guess what? This is going to affect you just as much as it's going to affect me and my children and all future generations that are related to me. It's in everyone's best interest to find out about this. The big capitalists brag, they continue, that this is the, quote, best of all possible worlds. And it is for their class. But for the proletarians who work in the factories, hospitals, hotels, and throughout the urban areas, in the suburbs, in small towns, and in the fields, and for the oppressed of the world, it is sheer hell, they say. To call this grotesque state of global inequality the best of all possible worlds is an ugly self-exposure. More than that, it's a stinging indictment of this system's total failure and inability to provide any future other than this nightmare for the majority of the world. All this injustice and inequality, they say, is the outcome of the capitalist imperialist system. What is the lifeblood of this system? Profit. What is the source of profit? Exploitation. You see how they think? What is the creed of the system? Expand or die. They say it means that capital exploits labor on a deepening, more vicious, and ever more global scale. From agribusiness factory farms to global assembly lines to barracks-like sweatshops, capital moves from location to location in search of the lowest wages, cheapest transport, energy, and materials, and the lowest standards of environmental and social protections. It uses the most advanced technologies to step up the pace of work and to throw millions out of work. It incorporates the most backward economic and social relations into its web of global exploitation, they say. It devastates countries all over the world and forces hundreds of millions of people to move from one end of the earth to the other, desperately in search of survival. It spreads its mass markets and mass media to sell products, to control minds, and to commercialize cultures. It pumps up miracle economies when that serves its interests. And then, virtually overnight, these economies plunge into crisis. A currency crash in Mexico, an economic meltdown in East Asia, destroying the livelihoods of tens of millions in a few short weeks. This is world capitalism, according to the Revolutionary Communist Party USA. It is a world in which large-scale industry, the widespread application of science and technology, and highly developed systems of communication are monopolized by a small class of exploiters. And what happens in this world? Thousands of people work together to produce something. But this labor is organized to serve the accumulation of capital. Wealth that is socially produced is seized and controlled by private owners to serve new rounds of profit-making. And so the people who actually work the land and factories have no material security. And so the liberating promise of new technology itself, the product of the labor of millions, is turned into nightmares of exploitation, control, and brutality. And so economic and social development are guided not by the conscious effort of the people, but by the competitive dictates and blind workings of the profit system. And then they ask in big all capital letters, bolded, is all this necessary? No, they say, all this misery and irrationality are completely unnecessary. So they laid out the problem. Now they're going to give you the solution. It doesn't have to be this way, they say, and it won't stay this way. In every corner of the world, the clouds of horrendous suffering and seething discontent are giving way to storms of upheaval, raging most powerfully in Maoist Revolutionary People's Wars. The Revolutionary Communist Party USA stands with the Marxist-Leninist Maoist parties and organizations united in the Revolutionary International Movement, or RIM, in taking up the cause of proletarian revolution and the fight for a communist world. The imperialists can never deliver real justice, they say. 500 years of capitalism has shown what their system is all about. Time's up, they say. Well, are we practicing real capitalism here in the United States? The proletariat will free itself and all humanity. And I see we're running out of time. It says, in the words of the Communist Manifesto, quote, what the bourgeoisie produces, above all else, is its own grave diggers, end quote. The proletariat, they say, is the class of people who, under the system, can live only so long as that they can work, and can work only so long as their work enriches someone else, the capitalist class. Their labor, collectively, is the foundation of society and produces tremendous wealth. But this wealth is stolen by a small number of capitalist exploiters who turn it into their private property and into a means of further exploitation. The proletarians are trapped in their vicious cycle. They have to work in order to live, but the more they work, the more wealth they create, and the more it's stolen and turned into power over them. And communism is going to remedy this, right? Acting as individuals, they cannot change this condition of enslavement. But as a class, they do have a revolutionary way out. The proletariat is an international class. It is more highly socialized and connected than it has ever been. Young women and children make the clothes and shoes in sweatshops for wages as low as 10 or 20 cents an hour in places like China or Bangladesh. Other proletarians then pack these items, and still others transport them to the docks or airports to be shipped to other parts of the world where they are unloaded, transported, and sold by yet other proletarians. There is a proletariat in the U.S. that is part of this international class. The U.S. working class is large and diverse. Within it, and its most exploited and nothing-to-lose sections, is a hardcore proletariat of many millions who can be the backbone of the revolutionary struggle. Many work in the small factory districts of the inner city and the suburbs for poverty-level wages, maybe making the computer chips of the so-called information economy. Others slave away in the garment sweatshops of the big cities under conditions that call to mind the hellhole factories of 100 years ago. Some stand on street corners every day, desperate to find even a few hours of work at some construction site. And basically they're saying communism is going to fix this problem, folks. Well, that's the draft. I'll post a link to this on AmericanExpose.com. Thanks for being with us. This is Darren Weeks. Chris should be back with you tomorrow. And I'll be talking to you in 2 weeks. God bless you. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are, but they're never the ones to fight or to die. And there are lies in the balance. There are people on the fire. There are children that they can. And there is blood on the wall.
This program on FirstAmendmentRadio.com is much more than entertainment. It is more like an information-packed audio magazine delivered direct to you.